Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. Well, we are days away from the big day, the big V, the big Valentine's Day. And, you know, I wonder, I read these statistics, and I believe they're probably fairly accurate, but for instance, that people are waiting longer to get married. Younger people are actually opting out of marriage. I read a report recently that, it's kind of like the decline of marriage is in our midst, and it appears though also that the numbers are kind of backing that up. But I am the optimist, and I'm wondering, you know, maybe is there something else going on? But anyway, for Valentine's Day, let's be the optimist. Let's talk about love, the state of love, the state of romance for those people who are in relationships. How we can always improve, and for those people who are looking for their soulmate. So, with us today to talk about this is psychologist Dr. Diana Kirshner. Diana is a recurring guest on the Today Show. She appeared on Oprah and starred in a PBS special on love. Her best-selling new book, Sealing the Deal, The Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love, is just out in paperback with rave reviews. It's a follow-up to her smash bestseller, Love in 90 Days. Dr. Diana has helped thousands date terrific partners, deepen the relationships, and create lasting love that is just right for them. Her free dating tips and relationship advice newsletter is available at her website, www.loveinnintydays.com. Here she is, the love mentor, Dr. Diana. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott. I'm so excited to be on your show. I love your work.
Well, thank you so much, and I love your work. So how did you become the love mentor?
Well, I'm a PhD psychologist, and I actually studied many years ago how to integrate individual and couple therapy, and I ran a postgraduate training institute, training therapists. And what happened was we had so many cases, hundreds and hundreds of cases going through the clinic, and I really learned about how people actually deepen their connection, deepen their commitment. We had singles, and we had special programs developed for them, and they really, really worked. Our statistics were amazing. And so I refined all of that approach and wrote books for the general public to teach them actually how to create the kind of love that was deeply, deeply fulfilling. You know, we're never taught. We don't have classes in school about how to create an amazing relationship.
No, I completely agree. And I think some people confuse, you know, what a true relationship is and a romantic relationship and what that really means. Because, of course, we have outside influences, the media among others. I don't want to pin this all on the media. But of course, especially for the younger folks, you know, this whole idea of love and what true love really is, I think that can confuse an awful lot of people. Now, at the introduction of the show, I had rattled off just a few statements. I don't have the stats right at my fingertips, but what do you make of that? Is there some truth to the at least what I've been reading about, you know, people holding off, younger people holding off on marriage, people not wanting to make commitments, and or people just waiting much longer until they tie the knot or get into a very serious relationship? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely, all of that is true. And the census shows that for the first time in our history, more people are living together than are married.
Mm.
And so that's really, really a process that's going on. And I think it's partly because there's so many choices, so many possibilities. You know, with online dating, you can literally go to your computer and there's like a million other choices that you could make. You're meeting old loves on Facebook. You know, there are so many different ways to connect with people these days. So it's kind of like it's easy to opt out of a relationship. And yet there's always that pain. It's one of the most painful, excruciating experiences to lose a love relationship. The upside is, though, that you can actually take steps. You can learn how to deepen your relationship, whether you're just dating a few months or on and off for 10 years, or in any relationship where you feel uncertain or afraid that it's ending, you can take steps to deepen it and create the kind of connection that is really what you want. And I have dozens of ways to do that in sealing the deal.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but so you said something kind of triggered a thought. So I'm also thinking that, so as the love mentor, is part of what you do, I'm thinking it could be twofold. In other words, for those people in a relationship, is it to help those folks, you know, have a lasting and you know, vibrant relationship? But I would imagine also you are a love mentor to those people who are looking for someone significant to be part of their life. Would that be correct, or do you focus on one more than the other?
No, I do both. And my first book, Love in 90 Days, is basically a textbook about how to just get out there. It's a simple step-by-step little textbook about how to get out there and find lots and lots and lots of partners who are great. I did the 90-Day Love Challenge on the Fox Morning Show, and I took 37-year-old Amelia, who was size 14. She had no dates at all. And we followed the Love in 90 Days program in the book. And every week we were on for 12 weeks on the Fox Morning Show. And she went from zero dates to having 12 great guys to choose from. 12.
And did she ultimately pick one?
Yes.
She did.
In a very wonderful relationship. Wonderful, wonderful relationship. It just worked out fantastically for her. And, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, these are simple things you can do to optimize your online dating or to go to places where you can meet lots of people of the opposite sex. For example, in terms of online dating, I had Amelia coming up number one in the whole greater New York City area on Match.com. So for a few weeks, she came up number one, which meant that when men searched for a partner, they would see her picture first.
I see.
And that's a simple search engine optimization technique. And one thing I can tell your listeners is if you tweak your information on your online profile, if you take out a couple of words and substitute a few other words every day, you'll come up as new. You'll come up in the internal search engine in the online dating site as new, which means that automatically more people will see your profile.
So let's focus a little bit more on this, the 11, 90 days, and then I want to actually get back over to the other side for those people, again, who are in a relationship and trying to, you know, strengthen and improve that. But 'cause I hear often about people who have met people online or through Match.com, and I've heard some really great success stories, but I've also heard situations where things just didn't work out. It was wrong from the start. So what are your tips? How do you know, starting all the way up, you know, earlier upstream in terms of, you know, preparing your profile, what you say about yourself, and just all the way through the follow through? Because I'm thinking, how, I guess my bottom line question is there a way to for people not to waste a whole lot of time, you know, dating a bunch of people to find the right one? Or is that just part of the process? Like you mentioned, Amelia, there were 12 dates until she found one.
Well, I'll tell you what I actually suggest, and there are many simple tips. I can't go over all of them, you know, from Love in 90 Days. But one thing that you do that I recommend is that you optimize your photo, and particularly if you're a woman. And the way you – everything that I actually suggest is based on research. Not everything, but it's also clinical experience. But, for example, if you just change your photo so that you're wearing a red dress with a scoop top that shows a little décolletage, men rate women wearing red as being much more attractive. If you then also in your photo make sure that you're looking in the camera, you're warm and you're making eye contact and you're smiling, men also rate women like that as much more attractive. With guys, the photo is less important, but you do have to come across as confident. You want to be careful what you write in your profile and put your best foot forward with in terms of showing that you're successful.
Okay, so in other words, you're not suggesting when you talk about the photograph, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I can just slip in Tom Cruise's picture instead of mine, right?
No.
So you're not suggesting using creative, you know, digital technology to.
No.
I really like that. I do like the idea that. The color, what we wear, you know, the colors, looking into the camera, not looking into the camera, because that is it makes a first impression, right?
Oh, it's very, very important. And men are very attracted to that warmth. And anyone can, you don't have to look like Angelina Jolie. You put on some makeup, because research shows that men will also rate women who wear makeup as more attractive, although if you wear too much, that boomerangs. You put on some makeup, you get a nice red scoop top, you really smile, you have fun with a friend of yours, have them take 100 digital shots of you, have them play with you, tease you, try to take some bad shots so you get over being nervous.
Now, I have seen, now I'm a happily married man, I'd like to say, I'm happy to say, for 20 years, but friends of mine who are kind of in this dating situation, they'll show me pictures. Most of these friends are men, and I see these pictures in some of the women. You know, they're wearing. It looks like they should be walking the streets.
That's
like
a no-no.
I mean, what are people thinking, and what what does that communicate to the person on the receiving side?
Well, first of all, what I can tell you is that many people are simply very sloppy about what they throw online. They find any old picture and they put it on there. Sometimes women feel like sex is very important or to put out the sexy vibe, but that's wrong if you want lasting, passionate, committed love. If you want someone to have a sexual tryst with, that's different, but
That's not your game. You are the love mentor, and I really like that. You know, a guide to lasting love.
Yeah, it's lasting, passionate love. That's the gold standard. That's a thing that is so incredible. You know, all the studies show that if you're in a lasting, passionate love relationship, you're healthier, you're happier. It's almost like the fountain of youth. You stay younger, and the effect is stronger for men than for women. But women also get that effect. And it, you know, really, I mean, if we could bottle great lasting love, it's like the ultimate. It's fantastic.
So what is the most important thing you can do to create lasting, passionate love?
Well, I tell you, the most important thing, and in sealing the deal, I have what I call the seven real, quote-unquote, laws of attraction. And these are research-based, again, about what works. But one of the most important, laws, is to really not let that sparkle die. You know, even after you've been dating for a while, sometimes you just get in a routine. You meet Friday night, you go to the same restaurant, you make love the same way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then if you're married, of course, you really can get into a routine where, you have the kids, you have work, you have errands, and dating and sex fall to the bottom of the to-do list. Well, what that means is that you're at risk for really losing that deep bond and that sparkle and that connection. So the most important thing, the single most important thing you can do is to actually decide that you're going to act like you're having an affair with your partner, that is having an affair with your own spouse.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, tell us more.
So this is really fun.
Now, remember, this is a family show.
Yes. But, instead of the sweats, what would you be wearing if you were having an affair with your husband? You know, you wouldn't be wearing the sweats. You put on a really cute outfit. You might send a sexy, flirty text. You plan a really great meeting, date at a wonderful meeting place. You may even have a little role play meeting at a hotel with your husband or wife. But think about it. What would you be saying or doing if you were having an affair? And generally, when people are having an affair, there's excitement in the air. You don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of new. You're not sure of what you're going to say or what he or she is going to say back. And so you start having fun.
I think that's something that often goes by the wayside, especially, I think about many people like myself married for quite a few years and in love. And like you said, the kids come along and the kids are great. Yet between career and, you know, taking care of perhaps aging parents and all the busyness that comes into life that I think we tend to forget or lose track of, I think, what's really important. And I my personal belief is relationships, and especially with in a marriage relationship, that's got to be number one. And I believe we can often fall into a complacency. We take each other for granted.
Yeah. Instead of making it number one on the to-do list, to set a date that's going to be a fun date where you're going to rekindle that energy, you know, and have a ball with each other and be flirty and be sexy together, you know, and definitely setting that in stone at least once a week. You know, people will let it go for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then what they find is they're drifting apart. And Scott, 80% of the people who divorce, they're divorcing, they say, because they've lost that feeling of connection. They've lost the friendship. They've lost the bond. And you can't afford that. You really can't afford that on an emotional level. You can't afford it on a financial level if you're married or with the children. And certainly the toll on the children is devastating.
This reminds me of a song. Now I'm going to date myself. It goes back probably a couple of decades. But about the gist of it is, this married couple, they put these in a classified. So they're married, but they put this a classified out how they're looking for somebody who likes, you know, pina coladas and taking walks on the beach, right? And they read each, and so they both do this, of course, not knowing that each one is looking for, you know, for some kind of an out and looking for a new partner. And of course, you know, what happens is they agreed to meet up. And are they ever surprised when they find out that, the same two people who have been married all these years, and they reconnected on the things that you had mentioned, the things that they enjoyed doing, you know, in their, you know, younger, earlier on in the relationship. So I really do like that. It's kind of reconnecting with, you know, whatever that spark was, which I think is always there, and getting back in touch with that.
Yeah, yeah. See, you know, really, you have to, so to speak, seal the deal over and over and over again in your relationship. You don't just, you know, get, you know, engaged or get married or move in together, you know, and that's it. You have to keep sealing the deal, making that extra effort to make it fantastic between the two of you. And if you do that, the great news is that you can stay in love 10, 20, 30 years with the same person. Mm. There are fMRI studies that have shown that there are a small group of people who are married that long, actually over 20 years, the research shows. And when they take an fMRI picture of the person, as they look at a photograph of their spouse, their brain lights up as if they were a newlywed with dopamine, you know, which is the infatuation biochemical. So it can be done, you see. It really can. And it's so extraordinary and so good for you in so many different ways.
So we're going to be coming up on a break in just a minute. So, Dr. Diana, what I'd like to talk about after the break a little bit is actually there's so many things. This is such a we could spend a lot of time on this, but a couple of areas. One is we hear so much about the importance of communication, and also I run into an awful lot of people who are single people who are in good relationships, strong relationships, but and these are this I'm referring especially to women who cannot somehow get their partner to commit to a longer lasting, you know, love relationship. So after the break, let's talk a little bit about that. I'll also be asking you for the golden nugget of the week. We are here speaking with psychologist Dr. Diana Kirshner. Diana is a recurring guest on the Today Show, appeared on Oprah, and starred in a PBS special on love. Dr. Diana, the love mentor, will be back right after this message here on WGCH 1490. Welcome back to the Business of Living show with your host, Scott Ventrella, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Diana Kirshner, the Love Mentor. Now, we've got, as I mentioned, we've got Valentine's Day coming up, and we're talking about, and I just love this this phrase, the Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love. So, Dr. Diana, one of the things we hear about in terms of, you know, when a relationship goes bad, and you ask the experts, they say, well, you know, it's about all about communication. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. That is absolutely correct. And in sealing the deal, I have, like, step-by-step, I actually have different ways to talk about how to communicate clearly. And one of the things that happens to us that stops us from communicating is that we have what I call relationship killer beliefs. And these are knee-jerk negative beliefs that kick in whenever anything goes south in a relationship. For example, you know, your husband forgets your birthday. And let me give you an example of, there's six of them in sealing the deal. And one of them is love is just too difficult. Mm. And so what happens is you go in a rant inside your mind and you get depressed. And it's like, oh, it's just too hard, or I'll never get what I want. And another relationship killer belief can kick in, which is all men are jerks, which sometimes women will say. It just creates this inner emotional upset and turmoil, and you spiral down, and you withdraw or you attack. And basically what you do is you push your partner away. It's the opposite of what you truly want in your heart. So what you want to do is recognize these relationship killer beliefs, and then instead of ranting on in your mind, actually decide to create something that's going to give you the love you really want. And one of the ways you do that is you can use a magic phrase. And this is a magic phrase, Scott. The magic phrase is, I would really love it if you fill in the blank. Mm. So if your husband, you know, forgot your birthday, you would say, I would really love it if you took me in, to make it up to me to this very expensive restaurant and bought me a dozen, you know, red roses. I would really love it if you did that. And so you can create, by careful communication, you can create what you need. And even if it feels like asking too much, you know, no one's a mind reader. Whether things are going south or not, you have to be very clear about what would really make you happy in the relationship.
So you want to be very clear and very explicit. In relationships, sometimes you hear, well, you know, it's the big things that create the breakdown. But then on the other hand, you hear that, you know, sometimes just the accumulation of the small things, annoying habits that, you know, early on in the honeymoon years, you know, you just kind of ignored or you thought it was actually kind of cute. But what, in your experience, is it the big things or the little things or some combination that leads to a breakdown in a relationship?
Generally both. It's generally both. Mm. And quite often the little things are mounting up and it's a negative kind of meaning that you're putting into what's happening. So the fact that he is not taking the garbage out, you know, somehow means that he doesn't respect you and that you're nothing. Mm. And it kind of then leads into a relationship killer belief. And so there's this whole swirl of negative thinking that's in your mind, which is really going to torpedo you, your mood, and the relationship. And then when he finally does some kind of big thing, you know, that can be the thing that just destroys the whole relationship. This is why you have to really discipline yourself in order to have lasting love, to speak your truth, no matter how scary it is, no matter how unreasonable it is. And another thing I suggest in sealing the deal is having 10-minute listening sessions with each other where one person gets to talk and the other listens kind of like a therapist, like a reflective therapist, quietly for 10 minutes, and then you reverse. And that is a fantastic way to regain your friendship and your connection and to get around these relationship killer beliefs.
So you give each person 10 minutes and you're not allowed to no rebuttals, no justifications, no nothing. You just let that person speak their piece?
Yeah, when they get to say whatever's on their mind, it might not it might not be about the relationship. In fact, the beginning, often it's better not to discuss relationship, but just to talk about other things.
I see.
You know, it's less charged, so you could talk about your problems at work or what's, you know, weighing on your mind. And then eventually you could get into talking about the relationship, but you talk about it in the third person as if you're having a therapy session. So instead of saying, you never blah, 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 you would say, oh, I'm sad because my wife, you know, doesn't seem to give me the kind of affection I need in the bedroom, and I feel sad about it. So it takes the whole charge off. And if you're listening like a reflective therapist, you generally will feel compassion for that person.
Excellent point. And we're just winding down on time, so I've got to ask you, what about people who are in a relationship and one or the other just can't seem to commit to that longer-lasting love?
Well, I tell you, they have to pick up a copy of Sealing the Deal, because I have a step-by-step way that you can really deepen commitment and get through that, and how to handle any kind of commitment fear that might be there. It's too extensive to get into, but there are ways where you can hold out a vision of an amazing love relationship in the future, and then you can empower yourself to say, you know, I'm going to create that amazing, extraordinary win-win relationship, and I hope it's with you, and if not, I'll do it with somebody else.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, Dr. Diana, if you're looking for a fantastic read, go to www.loveinninetydays, that's 90days.com. Sealing the Deal, you order in any form, digital or paperback, whatever. It also comes with a gift, and I'll make sure that on my website, thebusinessofliving.com, that we also have that link to the book. Well, Dr. Diana, I wish we had much more time. You have been terrific. Are you going to leave us with a golden nugget of the week?
Absolutely. You can have lasting, passionate love. There's no doubt about it. You can absolutely have the kind of lasting, passionate love that is really fulfilling. Just take your positive steps and go for it, starting now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? This is Scott Ventrella for the Business of Living Show. So long here on 1490 WGCH.